Welcome back to the On The Bounce show. It's a very exciting week because after last week, which was a bit dull, let's be honest, when it comes to the sport, we are back this week. I mean, the Premier League is back. The Carling Black Label Knockout Cup is back. It's the first time, right? I'm sure that was the old Telkom Cup. Anyway, the URC is back. And most importantly, the Sharks and the Stormers are back in the country. So hopefully they can get some wins after a pretty dodgy tour. And Formula One is also back at the Circuit of Americas in America. So much incredible live sport to get to. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But today's show, we're doing a little bit something different. We've got four of us in here. I keep miscounting. We've got two guests this week because we want to tackle a subject that Sandile and I are pretty much not qualified to do. You know, we always talk about peak performance in the show. We use really big words, probably out of context. So today we've got a doctor and a physiotherapist, two people who are far more qualified to get the sort of inner wranglers of where we want to go with this. We want to talk about what goes into making a great sporting individual. The physical side, the mental side, the longevity, the recovery, all of these things so that we can see these little common attributes and just have a general chat around that. So, ladies and gentlemen, to go a wider shot here of our two guests, we've got Mr. Suhail Essa, Dr. Suhail Essa, sorry, cock that up, and Timothy Fester, physiotherapist for the Lions cricket franchise, and of course, Sandile Shangas is right there.
That's me.
James, we actually need an applause button.
We do. It's in
there. Because we have an applause button, and then, yeah, guys, thanks for joining us today. It's just weird having so many people on the couch here. It must feel weird for you because
I'm so far away.
You guys had Sibusiso Kotela last week, so that was enough.
Takes the whole thing.
So you're actually right. This isn't the most weight we've had on this couch. You're right. Like net weight is not the most we've had on this couch. Yeah, I think between the two of you, right?
That was special.
So guys, yeah, I mean, obviously, Suhail, you have a show here on The Real Network. Let's Talk
Man. Yes, yeah, yeah. So we just launched this month, Let's Talk Man. And it's been doing very, very well. We discuss a whole lot of issues, medical and opinion-based.
But not always the stuff you would necessarily talk with your doctor about.
Of course, of course. It's not stuff that you commonly talk to your doctor about. It's a lot of the private stuff people don't want to talk about, but we feel like we need to talk about these things. So that's kind of what our podcast is about. But today I'm here to answer your questions about sports medicine, although I have a somewhat limited knowledge.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, look, we're all out of our skill sets to a degree, but fundamentally in primary, you two are way better than us when it comes to stuff, because we like to talk about stuff and we know where our boundaries are. But what makes you a bit of a unicorn as well is that comedy is just as big a part of your life, right?
Yes, yes. So I am also a stand-up comedian as well.
Awesome. I guess in your line of work, I mean, you work in the emergency room. That's as hardcore as doctoring gets, right?
Yeah. So I work in the emergency room, and then I also do stand-up comedy shows around the country. And in fact, my next show is going to be in Dubai on the 3rd of November.
Wow, so that's super awesome.
If there's any South Africans that are watching, come through to the show.
And they're so professional. You got to plug in early as well.
And we learned a bunch.
That's amazing. Smooth. Next to Timothy Fester, you are a physiotherapist now. You're your fourth season with the Lions cricket franchise.
Yes. So I work with the academy team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you also work in private practice along with this, right?
100%.
So you go from like apex physical athletes to old grouchy guys.
He's actually my physio. That's how we met.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So the old grumpy guy that you're doing.
That's me.
So all the guys that play one game of paddle and others.
That's me. That's exactly it. I just started playing paddle and getting back into running a bit. And my knee's been giving me problems. So then that's how I met Timothy.
I'm guessing far more entertaining conversations too when you're working with an oak like this rather than a guy who's just had a bad game or doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Let's be honest, I don't know how much I can reveal as well, but you were... You're
more than welcome.
I met him, but just like super chilled. It's just a very relaxed oak, but on the bed. He was in agony. Eh? So
a lot of sentences in the show that can always get taken out of context.
I had to make a face.
All right, so as you can see, our panel is well qualified and versed for this discussion today. Because I'm always quite curious, you know, people talk about, oh, this guy's this, they're that, or in any kind of sport. But there's certain fundamentals, I think, that if they understand their body better, if they understand what gets the performance out of them, they really can hit their true potential and, of course, have longevity. Khamez, right now also... women's cricket, T20 cricket.
I'm gonna give you live scores.
So we're gonna touch on that if you are watching us live. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, you know the results of that game, which is kind of pointless. But we are a dual show. So, of course, the Proteas for the second time running now are in the T20 World Cup semis in the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, and I think we just lost the toss and we're batting first. So let's hope for the best. Let's hope they do better than, you know, my other guys on the other side.
Yeah, because Sanjeev's at 10 for 1. Who is 10 for 1? Okay, great stuff, the Proteas women. Anyway, we're going to come right back. We're going to get straight into this discussion. How do we actually physically make better sports people, basically? Yeah.
All right, guys, we're back with our arms again. Sorry, sometimes you got to walk before you can run. Apologies if you're watching live, we had a bit of a snag here. So, Tim, obviously you specialize in the injury prevention of things. And, I mean, ultimately, a professional franchise, once you've got people on your books, you need them playing. You can't have these folks sitting on desks or just like, you know, sitting around not playing. What are the most sort of common things? You know, you spoke about the youth development, like the guys coming through the age groups. Just in cricket, we'll get to the broader sports in a bit, but just in cricket, what are the most sort of common sort of injuries that would sideline a player, and ultimately how do you go about preventing recurrence?
So for cricket, we'd say in fast bowlers specifically, lower back stress fractures, and it's usually common occurrence between the ages of 13 and 20. That's quite common. You always get one a season depending on the age group, but it's usually in that youth teams from the ages age groups under 16 towards under 19.
Yeah, I mean, for example, Anurag Nokia, would he fall into that category? Because he had some back issues, and he definitely sidelined him.
He definitely had some back issues, and obviously it was more in the public eye because it was in the build up to the T20 World Cup this year, but he recovered nicely. He had a baptism of fire in the IPL, but he came back nice and strong in the World Cup and showed his class. So that's always a nice story. It gives cricket players hope as well that you can come back from these things and you can come back as good as what you were beforehand, or even better. With regards to stress fractures, it usually happens with a repeated workload, maybe a deficit in the bowling action, a little bit too much side flexion when they are in their delivery stride, but a crossing over of the front foot, putting extra load on the back, and you do that repeatedly for months, maybe even years, and then one day
the body breaks down.
One day, boom, and you feel intense pain, intense spasm, and then it's off to the doctor and off to scans.
Which is kind of touched on what Sahel was saying there about, like, if you don't get the right technique early on and then you add volume to that, you can only actually see a downside here. You're only going to come a cropper.
I wanted to ask on that. So after a major injury, like we talked about Nokia, do you have to now start adjusting their technique to now try and manage the body moving forward? Because, you know, you come off a major injury and you're trying to make sure that this high-end player is able to go throughout their career. So is that the process that has to happen?
Yeah, so I can give you an example of an under-19 boy we worked with last year. He had stress fracture for a very long time. He had back pain for almost 2 years. Yeah. And we had to sort of figure out, why is this happening?
It's weird. So almost like an injury is like a red flag, as to say, there's something's a technique up. Issue.
Yeah.
Which and is kind of cool. Not for the person.
We analyzed his bowling, and first thing that comes across is his front leg moves way across his body. Increased side flexion onto that side of the vertebra. And then over time, if you give it enough time, something will happen. And that's what happened to him. And then we had to do our physio assessment and actually look at what's happening here. Where are the deficits? What can we change? What do we need to improve? So if you're looking at lower back, it goes from core activation. So people think about core and they think, it's your abs. It's not actually your abs. It's what's behind your abs.
Yeah.
I like to think of your abs as the CEO and the core is the workers. Mm-hmm. So there's always a deficit with that. Then you look at gluteal strength, there's a deficit with that, hip mobility, hamstring mobility, general strength of the legs, the lower limbs, your quads, your calves, everything. It's all encompassing. And then you have to look at his posture. You have to see all those deficits. What's happening? Is there a pelvic tilt that's causing extra pressure on his back?
Yeah.
It's very, very detailed. And then once we're done with that and we know exactly what's going on,
yeah,
then we have to first go into rehab for that. And that rehab takes for a stress fracture takes about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks initially, just to actually get the guy pain free.
Yeah.
Before we can even think about going into bowling and rectifying techniques. So what was quite nice with the youth coaches there at the Lions, the under 19 coach, he worked with us together on this player. We then took videos of the player bowling when he was clear to return to bowling, and then you can see the deficits immediately. You can see you can sort of see the failures in his action, which is actually causing that, and then the coach has to now do a drill that actually helps correct that.
Yeah.
So the coach actually has to break down the bowling action. You literally sit there. A player will get bored out of his mind because he's doing his run up for 3 weeks. He's doing his run up, sorting out his run up for 3 weeks, and then sorting out the gather, and then the delivery stride, and then getting all those components together before you even attempt bowling with a full action.
But that's what's needed, though.
That's like a 6 to 8 week program where the player works very hard on rectifying all those issues that he had in his action previously. And it's very demanding on the player because it actually feels unnatural to him until it eventually becomes natural to him.
Sounds like a golf lesson there.
It's crazy. I wanted to ask because you talk about the mental side of it, because once a player breaks down, you guys as coaches have to now jump into the mental aspect, because that 6 week break or 8 week break could really break a player. You know, you have to now start coaching the mind, saying, don't worry, you know, it's high pressure because at that age, you know, anybody could take your spot. How do you now bring the mental aspect into them buying into, you know, the rehab process? Because a lot of players break down in that type of environment.
So what we do with a player is we try and build trust almost immediately.
Cool.
We say, this is the breakdown of your injury. This is the timeline that it is. This is what you need to do in each segment of the timeline. And I tell them already, you are going to be frustrated. And that's fine. You're not losing your mind, but it actually needs to happen. These things need to happen. You're going to get bored. And once they realize that, then they can accept it. And then we deal with that, with that period of boredom where they're actually doing nothing. We deal with that together. So ways that I will try and combat that, I will try and get a player involved in the practice. So whether they are fetching balls or just being there at the net session, watching what's happening, helping the coaches out, that sort of helps the player in the interim, because at least they know they're part of the environment again. They're not. Then there's also a sense that the player feels like they're being ostracized because of the injury, and you want to prevent that from happening. And then it's always very satisfying when you can actually tell a player, listen, we can start reintegrating you into practices now. You can start with some batting, you can do some gentle throwdowns, underarms, and then they really start buying in. But that 6 weeks, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, because
exactly. And you think like professional sport, the highest level, that kind of stuff, it's a momentum game, it's a confidence game.
Yeah.
Any time on the sidelines is what you want to prevent completely, because it becomes a head game.
Yeah.
So hell, from a side of, in any business, you got to know what makes your money. Okay, so with you, it's knowledge. You burned through the books, right? How many years did you study for?
Well, I had to study six.
Six years. Long time, right?
That's
When you're at the prime jawling ages.
No, but I did enough of that, don't worry.
Okay, so clearly an overachiever here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've engaged with a lot of sports people in this world, in your world as well. And absolutely, I mean, it's not as a slight to anybody, but sports people are quite focused towards what they need to do, and they won't really always go further.
Yeah.
Do you think there's more knowledge that needs to be spread about the body to actually get more awareness about your body? Because ultimately, it's the thing that it's your vehicle, it's your everything.
Mm.
It's like an accountant knowing numbers, it's like an architect understanding shapes and composition and framing, that kind of stuff. Do you think that's something that, you know, we focus so much on the performance of getting lighties to be stronger and faster and more skilled, but from your sort of more holistic sort of medical background, do you not think that there should be genuine tuition towards this is how the body runs, this is the things you got to watch out for, these could be some of the red flags, and a greater understanding like that might have them in a much better place?
Definitely. I think I think we should actually start teaching kids that are obviously interested in sports, you know. Maybe you could do training or teaching for all the pupils, and but more importantly, I think the coaches. I mean, if we think back to when we were in school and doing school sports, none of our coaches had any idea what. They were just like, run, throw the ball,
yep,
catch. That's it.
Yeah.
Not like, what are the fundamentals? How does this, like, muscle work? Or how does, you know, what types of muscle fibers do you have? And how should you train if you want to optimize those specific muscle fibers for your specific sport, for example?
Yeah.
And the way in which your body specifically burns calories, and how you gain weight versus somebody else. I think nutrition, sports medicine, let's call it that, I think those are very important topics. I would say very, very important for athletes, high school athletes that are looking to perform at a higher level, definitely. So definitely for the higher teams, those guys generally tend to be the jocks who have no idea what, you know, what muscle they're using, how just much they need to be
just
eating.
The big one or the small one.
Yes. Yeah. So I think for them it would be a big help. I think having that knowledge, that framework in which you can better yourself on, definitely would help. I think in terms of sports across the board, bodybuilders really have a very, very good understanding of the way in which the body works. That's one group of people who, without any formal training, just based on what research they're doing and how interested they are in improving their physique, they understand nutrition very, very well, and their training programs very, very well, and how to alter specific parts of their training program to get the results that they want. But I think across the board, most athletes need to hire a guy like Tim and hire, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, you should still have all of those. But going back to what you said about business, I think you need to understand your business the best before you can hire somebody else. Because if you don't know what's going on, how are you going to find the right person?
Sure.
To take care of that aspect of your business.
So well, we kind of saw that with LeBron James and Ronaldo.
Yeah.
There's a big thing kind of made. It makes for great Instagram content, but they outsource those kind of things because those are little increments. It's like you mentioned the bodybuilder. Obviously, we have Simple Cesar Cotello here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just think how meticulous he is in his sport and what he applies to it, you imagine you can take some of that sort of best practice and go to any kind of sport, how good you would be.
No, definitely. I think someone that could talk quite extensively on this is one of my fellow doctors on the podcast, Nklantla Vilagazi. He's actually a professional bodybuilder himself.
Oh.
And he started just working out whilst we were in medical school, and he had started working out, just lifting weights and stuff. And during our medical school career, that's when he really started to learn about the human body and the anatomy and how each muscle works. And as time went on and we left varsity and he had a little bit more money, then he could plan his meals and, you know, get the a good physiotherapist to help him with his recovery. And I think that really took him to the next level, is truly understanding the theory behind what he's doing and why he's doing it. So now he doesn't spend endless hours in the gym just doing whatever the biggest guy in the gym says.
Back and buys.
Yeah, you know?
You know.
Now he's figured out a system that
you know
specifically works for him, a diet that specifically works for him, for his body size, his shape, what he wants. And he can tell you a lot about how literally tweaking the tiniest thing, whether it's his training, whether it's his diet, can can give you massively different results just by making tiny little tweaks.
The tiny little tweaks, obviously, the later you go in your career is obviously hugely important. So we're gonna wrap up our chat with recovery, because ultimately that keeps you in the game. Tim, is it good or bad to have a beer after a game?
I mean, it's probably bad, but because everyone enjoys it.
Okay, wait. let me ask this in two contexts. Is it bad in a recovery sense to have beer after a match, or is it mentally really good to have the rapport with your teammates?
You're leading the witness.
What do you think, Tim?
Alcohol after any sort of heavy lifting, probably not
recommended.
Not recommended. But also there's a cultural aspect to it, you know. It's a team environment. It's celebrating a win. So if I had my physio cap on, I'm saying probably no, don't do that. But there's been a time where we've won a trophy. Mm-hmm. I've had a beer with the team, so I'm not gonna be be a hypocrite here and say no, it's not, because it's not recommended. But it's part of
the culture.
It's part of sporting culture. Whether it's good or bad, that's up to everyone's interpretation.
But ultimately, maybe keep the beers for the bigger games rather than midweek. We should have beaten those Oaks.
don't have alcohol when
great practice,
sad,
you know? Beers.
Yeah, no. Don't have alcohol when you're sad.
I just wanted to ask the two of you guys. I need to stop saying that, but you know, you mentioned LeBron James and Cristiano Ronaldo. Their big thing that they've been talking now is their need to talk about rest and sleep.
Don't ask a doctor about that. no experience.
No experience. I'm running on 2 hours.
But you know, we come from a generation where we're always saying, play through it. Use all that high energy. What is the power of sleep and the power of, you know, rest? And, you know, because we really don't tell, you know, the youth about stuff like that.
You want to go for this one?
Both of you. I need both of you.
Okay.
You can I'll start. Just add in.
Yeah.
Just know whatever your answer is being applied to social paddle.
apply that to every sport that you are currently involved in. Yeah.
Well, that's the cool thing about today. It's like, yes, we're talking about athletes, but it applies to every level of sport. It really does.
Yeah, yeah. From the average social paddle or action cricket player all the way to a professional level, sleep has so many benefits. And I know that I don't practice what I preach.
I love the fact you said that while sounding
tired. Because I don't have the capabilities to do so.
Yeah.
But I do know that sleep is one of the best things that you can do for your body. Mm. It has regenerative properties. So let's just talk in general about sleep, right? So you've got different stages of sleep. If you're napping, you're not necessarily getting into that deep, deep, deep REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is what you need to really get the most out of your recovery, right? Not to say that a nap isn't going to help. It's just not going to give you the best recovery for your body. Now, when it comes to training, the only way your body regenerates is through sleep. So eating, so your diet and your sleep schedule, that's pristine. Mm-hmm. And all the top athletes know this. Mm. So, because I'm a fan of MMA, as I said, Khabib Nurmagomedov, during his training or fight camps, he would be so rigorous. Like, he would get up at 4, whatever the time is that he starts his training. And he'll maybe train for 2-3 hours. And then he goes, showers, and just sleeps. Wakes up at lunchtime, has a meal, trains again hard. And then he has another nap in the afternoon. In the evening, he'll do some light session and then have a good 6 to 8 hours sleep every night. And even if you look at...
You just described my perfect day.
Right?
Now, if you watched... there's this new documentary on Netflix, Starting Five.
Yep.
With LeBron and four other NBA players who are at the top of the league at the moment. And they asked LeBron about the rumors about, you know, him paying almost $1 million a year in recovery. So getting dietitians, nutritionists, physiotherapists, biokineticists, massage therapists, you name it, he's got it. And basically he said, look, I'm not going to disclose the exact amount, but obviously it's my business. Mm. So I'm going to do what's best for my business. He's got proper like sleep chambers and things like that. Long story short, sleep is very, very important, especially when you're a teenager, especially when you've just started playing sports. I advise kids to get at least 8 hours of sleep. If you are playing a sport, make sure, and it sounds ridiculous, but even when I was a teenager, my grandfather was literally like, at 8:30, you're going to be in bed. I don't care. You will be in bed. If you don't sleep until 12 at night, doesn't matter, but you're going to get to bed. And that really helped through my formative years. I was able to do a lot more sports and, you know, focus on my academics as well, because I just felt very well rested. And in that like regimented schedule, I found that there was a constant recovery happening.
Yeah, it's one of those luxuries as well. But at the same time, our smartphones have robbed us of so much of that, because we are constantly craving these little endorphin hits the whole time. So people will always go, oh, I can't do that. But like, if you become conscious of your habits, you can cut an hour or two easily.
Yeah,
sure. We're all guilty of that kind of stuff.
100%.
Look, guys, I mean, there are so many aspects to building the right sort of like sports person and getting all the all fundamentals right. We can probably have another conversation about this and other aspects, but we're going to wrap it up there. Let's talk, man, every week.
Yeah, so we've got a episode every single week, Monday, 6 p.m. Same time, same place. You can find it on the Real Network.
Okay, and then Tim, what does the rest of the season look like for you? Are you now going to prime time with the Lions?
Yeah, it's prime time cricket for me. Our academy and cult season starts a bit later than the pros do. So we're going on tour to Durban next week, playing a game, playing 3-day game and a 50 over white ball game against the Dolphins Academy and Colts. So we'll be there next week, and then the official season starts in mid-November. We have our first game against a local derby against Easton's.
Okay.
So we're there, and then that's going to be us for the next 5-6 months.
Cool.
Nice.
All right, guys, we're going to change up the cast a little bit here. Our guests are going to leave us for the time being. We're coming back with a full-on run into the weekend. Now, as I said at the start of the show, we are back with so many big things. URC, Formula One, the Premier League. We'll get updated on the women's cricket as well. There is so much. So just after this little break, we're going to get all into those fixtures. Welcome back. What a weekend we have ahead. You know, the last couple of weeks may have been a little bit low, but we have been kind of waiting and preempting the Bok return. That's early November. Right now, though, we've got the URC, we've got the Premier League, we've got the Carling Black Label Cup. Sandile, that used to be the old Telkom Knockout Cup.
That was the OG Telkom Knockout, yes.
Which is basically just like the Karobo Cup of
SA. It's not really.
SA.
It's got more, it's got more gravitas, as they would say. It's a really, that's a great English word, isn't it?
No, you absolutely nailed that one.
it's one of the cups that people really chase. You know, you've got to get some trophy wear, and there's big money behind it, so.
Did you just make up trophy wear?
Trophy wear?
James, actually, just, when I said it, I was like, what
James,
is
just very quickly,
wear?
What's the latest in the cricket right now?
So the Aussies still batting 78 for three after 78 for 14 three. Overs. Yeah.
Floaty is doing pretty well. Guys, we've got to open up with the United Rugby Championships. As a Stormers fan, hasn't gone so well for me. We had that one win against Zebra, and then everyone realized Zebra's actually quite cuck. Yeah. Because, yes, I don't know what Munster were doing. They lost them in that first round, and then from there, floodgates are open. The Lions are about to take on Zebra. Lions have started great. The Bulls have started great.
Are you shocked that the Lions are like playing this great?
They're a bit like Chelsea, though. They haven't played great teams so far.
That's hectic. That's
yet they're still performing better.
Yeah, that was quite a little low blow off the bat. But yeah, look, a lot of the time it's like you want to almost play your tough games away because expectations are quite low. Throw the ball around a bit. If you lose, you lose. But if you play that easy game away, and like I feel the Stormers last week against Edinburgh, they left a lot of points on the table and it's going to come back to bite them.
True Stormers fashion.
True Stormers fashion, I know. Stormers are like the Arsenal of 3 years ago, which is a bit rough. But yeah, the Lions have started well. They're unbeaten. The Bulls have started well. They're unbeaten. So the Bulls on Friday will take on the Scarlets. Look, most of the Welsh teams aren't strong. Now, I can say that without any prejudice whatsoever. They're just not that great. Mm-hmm. Welsh rugby ultimately take big chunky farmer kind of oaks, slap on some self-tan. That's a Welsh rugby player.
Wow.
Sandile,
wow, that's the second time this show, man. I want you to know that.
You get reminders to put your phone on silent.
Well, he threw it spread against the wall. Okay, so Saturday, we've got the Lions. They'll be taking on Zebre away. Sharks at home to Glasgow. They've just put out the strongest team. The Sharks have put out their strongest possible team. Okay, I know that's happening. You can still pay attention to this.
No more disruptions. Ben's going to lose it.
It's been a hell of a show.
Have another drink, Ben.
Why? I'm doing fine. You know? Sharks brought the strongest team. Okay. Mm. Is that going to turn things around, you reckon?
Look,
taking on Glasgow, also a hugely strong team.
But I think with all the Springboks back, I think it's going to be electric. And I think Sia being back is going to be super, super, you know, exciting.
Proper back, because now he's a Sharks guy.
He's a Sharks guy. So it's exciting. And I think there's going to be a lot of camaraderie going around. All the Springboks are back. They're fully, fully strengthened up. I think they're going to jam really hard.
Okay, then we got Stormers versus Munster at home.
How do you feel about that?
Mr. Marnie Lubbock, because he just got married.
Yes, shout out to
him. Even though he was still a Mr. before that.
Yeah.
But he's back. He's settled. He's got the confidence of playing for the box, doing well. I reckon the Stormers have... I would like to say that they've got this, but Munster are a strong side, and they tour well. Last year, they showed that they toured really nicely. So, yeah, it's tough to call. And then we've got Edinburgh versus Cardiff, Dragons versus Benetton, and Connacht will be hosting Leinster. Leinster are still, like, they're the perennial favourites for all these kind of tournaments. So that is your URC action for the weekend. Personally, I reckon the Bulls are going to be strong. They're going to win. Lions are going to beat the Zebre. And then Sharks versus Stormers. Well, sorry, Sharks and Stormers. I'm going to back them both to have narrow wins at home. Premier League, guys, that is where it's at this weekend. Now, the international break does two things. Firstly, bores me shitless. Secondly, it takes all the talented English players in clubs and makes them average in a white jersey.
Yep.
I agree.
look, it wasn't all bad. We, you know, Bafana almost qualified. You know, we got a draw yesterday, but we are in a strong position to get to AFCON. So that was nice for me for the international break. But getting into the Premier League.
Anything nice for you?
It was great. Actually, guys, you know how much hell I've been in since the Premier League kicked off. It was really nice to have a break. But we're back in it. Saturday, we've got Spurs versus West Ham. We've got Man United.
Versus?
Who are going to absolutely hammer Brentford because they're on... Erik ten Hag's bald head is hanging over the precipice here. And whatever happens, Man United always seem to bounce back when they got this.
You know,
but their attack has been better than United, eh?
Guys, we've got Man United versus Brentford at 4 o'clock, guys.
How do you genuinely feel about that game?
He's already rubbing his brow before he says the next word.
You know,
not
all
well.
All the confidence in the world I started within the season. Guys, just pray for me. And every one of your Man United fans, we hope we get a point. I know you guys have been reveling in it, but now it's kind of feeling a bit pathetic, and I know you guys feel bad for me.
At the moment, your United shirt's more like a fashion statement.
It's really, I feel like an Instagram baddie. I'm really genuine.
Instagram baddie.
And then we've got Fulham versus Aston Villa. And then we got Newcastle versus Brighton at 4. And then we got Bournemouth Arsenal at 6:30.
Otherwise known as 3 points for the Gunners. Carry on to Sunday. Nice. We got Wolves versus Man City. But then
we got
then.
The slaughter of we got the slaughter of Wolves. I won't lie, it's going to be quite. Then we got a big one. We got Liverpool versus Chelsea. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to hand it to these two to fight it out. How do you guys feel? How does it go down?
What are we thinking?
I am.
What are we thinking? There is no we here, James. You're Liverpool. She's Chelsea.
It's true, but I mean,
super confident in Chelsea. Their attack is great. Cole Palmer has like been performing, but not just Palmer. Like Jackson has also been performing there. Their assists, their goals. You know, our defense might not be the greatest at the moment. I was just told to move closer to the mic. our defense might not be the greatest at the moment, but our attack is literally second. You know, like, you guys are sitting there in seventh. Cole Palmer has scored more goals than Salah. You guys literally just rely on Salah.
Is Cole Palmer carrying you through the Premier League?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. He's our top goal scorer, but he's not the only one carrying Chelsea.
They've been jamming. Come on.
But are jamming enough to beat an informed Liverpool? I mean, I know I support the club, but they've been playing some pretty sexy football. Liverpool, I mean, you know?
You know, I'm not going to fault you on that. Like, Liverpool has been performing this season. You've had a lot of clean sheets, but you can't just rely on your defense. Like, your attack needs to step up now too. And that's why I'm so confident in Chelsea. Like, Chelsea's attack is going to now present a challenge for your defense.
Look, I just feel, from a complete outsider here, I feel Chelsea's dangerous because no one's expecting much.
Exactly what
I was literally
gonna say.
They are so under the radar, under the weight of memes, that I actually think that they're going to do better. I mean, I know their opposition to this point hasn't been great. I've already touched on that. But these Oaks are just, I reckon they're playing with a bit of fun. And the fact that their talisman is a guy called Cole Palmer, it looks like if it wasn't for football, it'd probably be a virgin. I reckon the vibe of Chelsea right now is as good as it could be.
Yeah, and you know what? They've been playing well. It's going to be an exciting game. As a neutral, can't wait for Sunday.
So is the entire On The Bounce crew backing Chelsea?
Chelsea.
I'm going to first let you answer this question. It was posed to you by Michaela over there. Is the team too reliant on Salah, seeing as your attack is in question?
I don't think so. I think we've got some pretty reliable goal scorers. Diogo Jota, who plays when he does. He's known
How's
for scoring
reliable?
Some goals.
How is that confident even?
He's a super sub. He's done it once, twice, many times. He's come on the field and scored a goal. He did it against Wolves multiple times. I'm not worried about Liverpool's attack. No, I'm really, really not.
So, Jez, what you're saying is 2-1 at the Kop.
To Liverpool?
Yes.
I would say maybe even 3, actually.
Okay.
Woo. But I don't have any like stress around Liverpool's attack. I really don't.
Akela, what's your retort on 3-1?
Jeez. I think it's going to be a 2-1 situation to Chelsea.
Love it.
I don't think Liverpool has this one. I'm very confident in the way that they're playing. Like I said, we're relying a lot on our attack, but we have great players. We've got, how do you say this guy's name again? Always get it wrong.
Let's not go through the list of Chelsea players. We've already got an hour show.
We've got Jackson. We've got Palmer. You know, like, I think
point proven.
It's going to be a great game. Chelsea.
I'm going to put a bin on that one. I think it's going to be a good old 2-2 draw. And I never do that. So
interesting.
That's what my
experience is. So can James take an ice bath if Liverpool loses?
Actually, you know what? I'm willing to do a forfeit if Liverpool lose. I am.
Okay, well, hang on a second. It's easy for guys to lose bets because we do anything. What are you going to do
what
if
you
lose,
yeah,
James?
That's a good point.
Hey, you know, ice bath?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Oh, I mean,
that's kind of unanimous either way. All right. So look, there's still other football. There's a Carling.
Carling Cup.
The Carling Cup.
Carling Knockout Cup.
Carling Knockout Cup.
Yeah, we've got to get it right. On Friday, we've got AmaZulu versus Stellenbosch at 7. Saturday, guys, pray for me once again. We've got Pirates versus Magezi. Let them get out. We've been talking about Pirates, how good they are at tournament football.
Yeah, I think it's a basically walk-over. Like they see a cup, they get a cup.
Yeah.
So if they have heart failure, it's literally just due to football.
Do you not give him options for reactions? He's already got a high repertoire.
We got Polokwane City versus Gallants at 3. Nobody really cares, but we have to tell you that fixture. Sundown versus Golden Arrows at 6 o'clock. We want to see what Sundowns has got in tournament football. You know, they came up short in the last tournament where Pirates won. So we want to see what's that.
And without Timbers won in our
four months.
It's,
I don't even want to, you know what?
Oh, it's an Achilles. So, I mean, the Oaks.
Is it a confirmed Achilles?
Yeah.
But we were playing on that fake Astro turf. And, you know, we'll get into that another time. then we got a big game, SuperSport United versus Chiefs. Guys, I need you all to back whatever, you know,
gang
that you guys back. Let me get through a weekend of football.
You can't ask the audience for praise on Man United and Chiefs. You got to pick which one here.
I'm just going for higher powers. No,
calling out all of them.
This is going to be probably the game of the tournament in this first week. It's going to be super exciting. So guys, watch that game. It's going to be very dope. Then we got Cape Town City versus Royal AM. That's going to be cool as well. Sunday, TS Galaxy, Chipa United at 3 o'clock, and then Richards Bay versus Kukunia at 5:30. So those are the column knockout fixtures. It's going to be a super exciting tournament. It really took over the place of Telkom. So this is another tournament for you guys to get excited about for local derby.
Who's taking the Carling knockout? I mean, I know some.
No, James. James, we've got to bleed the content out. We can't go so hard in the first round. Let's just see the round of 16 first.
Your suggestions early on.
As I would like to say, Pirates. Let's just make sure higher power people and supporters of the bounce, the Chiefs gets through.
So
Dina
just wants to see a semi at some stage of one of his teams.
Jeez.
So look, fantastic weekend. Obviously wraps up with the Circuit of Americas, the American GP in Austin, Texas. look, it's a cuck time zone for a lot of people. It's not the best of races. The Americans don't do Formula One like anyone else. It'll kick off at 9 o'clock if you are incredibly interested. But that pretty much wraps it up for your sport for this weekend. And of course, for this show, we've got UFC coming up next week, which is hugely exciting. And we're getting ever so close to those three BOC test matches. Now, if you aren't in the know of this, Scotland, Wales, England. Three more tests. Three more chances of Billy getting closer to 100. I'm calling it. No one else is.
No. I told you, I think it's a wrap.
Anyway, thanks for joining us on the show this week. Apologies for our little audio mishaps. We are trying a couple of things out here, so obviously we'll keep you on the forefront of that. But yeah, otherwise, like and subscribe to the channel, as we mentioned earlier.
And big shout out to Hugo Bruce. What a coach. I had to throw it in there before you closed.
That wasn't part of my outro, but sure, let's do it. Catch you back next week.
Chelsea, Chelsea, Chelsea.